Welcome to Word Labs Out Loud, your weekly writing spark on CFRC 101.9 FM. On today's show, I wanted to explore the idea of incorporating the five senses into your writing. This piggybacks off of some of the other descriptive writing that we've been doing, exploring character and sense of place. So this is further avenues through which you can bring your reader deeper into the world of your story. So the five senses that we'll talk about today are taste, touch, sight, smell, and sound. And these are things that can help your reader to experience rather than simply observe your story. And that's the golden rule of show, don't tell. It's one of the foundational principles of strong writing. You don't want to spell out every action, emotion, and event. That gets dry, that gets boring, and it keeps the experience for the reader pretty surface level. Where employing good descriptions and good sensory language lets the reader feel like they're experiencing the story for themselves. And you do this with clear, vivid details and actions. Using the senses can also help you enhance your character development. So obvious things would be describing the physical appearance of your character, but think about other things that might reveal, you know, secrets or quirks about your character. Do they wear cologne? Do they have body odor? Is their clothing rough and rumpled? Is it expensive? Those kinds of things. It can also be used to reveal things like their emotional state without explicitly naming it, using descriptions like sweaty palms and a pounding heart and uneven, ragged breaths tells you that your character is probably frightened or anxious without saying John is scared. And it helps with the nuance of what they're experiencing, because fear for one person and fear for another person might look different. It might be experienced with different intensity, and so that's where those sensory descriptions can come into play. Using the five senses also helps you create immersive settings. Detail creates tangibility, and the more tangible elements that you have brought into your story, the more believable the setting becomes. You want the reader to feel as though they've truly experienced the place that you are setting your story in. So let's get into some more detail, starting with what might be a less obvious sense for writing, which is taste. Taste imagery encompasses flavors, but it's also textures and the physical sensations of eating. You want to try to use written descriptions that allow the reader to savor the experience. So this is going beyond sweet, salty, bitter, sour, or umami, and exploring the emotions or memories that those tastes can evoke as well. Metaphor, we'll be talking about this a fair bit today, so metaphor and simile can be a helpful way of doing this. The warm broth coated her sore throat like smooth silk. The hot pepper lit up his tongue like a firecracker. You can also use taste in fun ways to, for example, describe emotions. A bittersweet parting. She got a spicy photo. She looked delicious in that dress. So get creative with what you think about when you're thinking about taste and how you can incorporate that into your story. Food blogs, cookbooks, and recipe websites are really easy and accessible resources that can help you explore how taste can be described in lively and enticing ways. Here's a quick example of how you can elevate your description. So she ate a piece of shortbread. Okay, we may or may not have eaten shortbread in our life. We may have an opinion on it, but it's not telling you very much about the character's experience with the shortbread. So here's one with sensory words. She bit into the shortbread, buttery crumbs falling over her lips, the bite melting with a soft sweetness on her tongue. So I would guess from that description that she probably enjoyed that. And you can take that further too by incorporating other elements. Does the shortbread remind her of her grandmother's recipe? Where is she sitting when she's enjoying this? Is she in a position where she can truly savor it? Or is she wolfing it down before she runs out to a meeting? Closely linked with taste is smell, and you'll often find that there's crossover even in descriptions like fruity, stale, rancid can be used for both. Smell can be hard to describe, and there's some interesting science behind that if you want to get a little nerdy. Our brains are obviously good at recognizing and remembering specific smells. meals, it can be one of the strongest triggers, and people have used it, using exam season as an example, always studying while wearing a certain cologne and then wearing that cologne when you go to the exam so that there's a memory that's triggered by that scent. It can work for people. But the region of our brain that processes smell is more closely connected actually with emotion and memory than it is with language. So even when we're like, oh, this scent is reminding me of my childhood home or this dish that I had on my trip, finding the right words to describe it can feel surprisingly hard. Using memory in your description and using metaphor and simile can help you out here. Think of a brand of shampoo reminding you of an ex-love, or the scent of mothballs reminding you of your grandparents' closet. If you want to get into descriptions that evoke emotions, you can say something like the stack of freshly printed money smelled like freedom, where for another character, that freshly printed money might smell like corruption, and that gives you an insight into the character. The hospital room smelled like sickness doused with bleach. Gives a little bit of insight into not only the literal reality of the situation, but how other characters respond on an emotional and a physical level. Just like cookbooks and blogs can be helpful for describing food, wine and perfume descriptions are good ways to get some creative ideas for expanding your scent vocabulary. And when you begin to describe a scene, close your eyes and imagine all of the possible smells that surround you. Remember that smells can describe a lot. Food, weather has certain scents. Think of a rainstorm coming in or freshly fallen snow, grass on a hot summer day. It also can evoke obviously locations and even emotional states. So be curious. What are you experiencing in that space? Perfumes, body odor, fresh or stale air. Try to go beyond bad or good in your descriptions and think about what each scent represents and why it exists for you in that scene. Moving on to touch. Tactile imagery like texture, temperature, pressure, and pain adds another dimension to your writing. So many dimensions we're talking about today. And while certain touches or sensations like, you know, a kiss, a punch, stubbing your toe might be obvious elements to incorporate into your story, don't overlook subtle experiences. Consider things like the feeling of different fabrics on skin, how loose or tight clothing might feel, walking into a hot or cold environment, and even internal sensations like feeling nervous or having cramps. Touch is not only the active things that your character reaches out to feel, but also passive experiences like gusts of wind or dry skin. Obviously thinking about winter right here. So don't forget to include those in your descriptions as well. Moving on to sight. Sight is probably the most dominant sense in descriptive writing. Naturally, most writers begin by establishing what can be seen by their character and by the reader, but the key lies in selecting and enhancing the details that matter. Visual cues do more than just set a scene. They can help establish the mood and theme for that scene or the story as a whole as well. For example, a blue sky is a simple descriptor, but dark clouds gathering on the horizon create a sense of tension that is also a cue to the reader that something might be about to happen, something bad might be about to happen, or, oh, this is not the time to relax. So it can be fun as you start doing that to dive into tons of detail. But as we talked about more in depth when we were talking about setting the scene before, always write with a goal in mind, and that goal is advancing the plot. So as you write your visual descriptors, ask yourself, what is being seen? What are you not seeing? What does it mean? And why does it matter? I know that sounds kind of nebulous, but let's take an example. Your character is seated at a bar and sees a man walk by. Start asking yourself, what is being seen? What does this man look like? What is he wearing? How tall is he? What kind of shoes does he have on? Is he messy looking? Is he well-dressed? Does he have tattoos? What color are those tattoos? What types of tattoos? What is his outward appearance telling you? How is he walking? Does he have a confident stride? Is he limping? Does he have his head held up high, or is he looking down to the ground? Is he making eye contact, or does he seem to be avoiding the crowd? So what are you seeing? What are you not seeing? If he seems secretive, what might he be hiding? Those are little clues you can add for your reader. And these questions can help you brainstorm ways to show your reader what they need to pay attention to. That what does it mean and why does it matter? And finally, we're going to talk about sound. So the sounds of a scene. Probably the most common and obvious sounds are those onomatopoeia sounds, you know, snap, pop, rumbling, clattering, humming, creaking, etc. Or loud sounds that have a lot of dramatic impact on the scene. But subtle external and internal sounds can also help set the scene. So if you think of creaking floorboards, howling wind, ominous thumps, you could probably guess that the writer is drawing you into a horror story. But on the flip side, sounds can also convey your story's location in subtle ways. Everyday noises like the hum of appliances, passing cars, a purring cat form a background to the life of your character. These elements, whether they are loud and dramatic or small and subtle, can help you create a sense of ease, overwhelm, tension, depending on what is being heard and how your character reacts. And two characters might react very differently. If someone is very easily overstimulated, then you might want to incorporate more distraction sounds into your narrative to give your reader a sense of what the life experience is for that character. Whereas another character might be able to just tune it out and be in a zen state as they go through their day. So as we said before, like all the items in your creative writing toolbox, effective sensory writing is driven by purpose. Always want to ask why a particular sensation matters. Why did you write it? What does it mean and what does it reveal? So what does it mean and what does it reveal about the character, the setting, or the story as a whole? You want to develop an immersive world for your reader, yes, but you don't want to bog down the plot with too much detail. Clever description is gratifying, but if you're too heavy-handed with it, you're just going to lose the reader's attention and take them out of being in the story. You don't want them to be aware of your writing. So we're going to spend the last part of today's episode on a practical exercise, and this is going to be incorporating all of the five senses that we talked about today. So I want you to close your eyes and imagine yourself either at someone's home for a family dinner or at your workplace for a work potluck. Try to describe that location and that scene using all of the five senses. So some questions you can ask yourself: who is there? What are people wearing? How is the room decorated? What food is on the table? What do you smell? And this is beyond just the food. Is the room crowded? Where are you sitting? Is your chair comfortable? Are your elbows touching the person next to you? Or are you standing? Is it standing room only? What's the temperature like? What does the cutlery look like and what does it feel like in your hand? What temperature are the foods on your plate? You want to try and be as curious about the scene as you can. In this exercise, we're just gathering material. If you're doing this and applying it to a specific scene in a story that you're writing, you'll want to ask questions, but with that sense in mind of what does it mean and why does it matter. But again, for this exercise, we're just brainstorming, and you'll have about 3 minutes per sense if you want to divide it that way. Otherwise, 15 minutes total. So I hope this little exploration of the five senses has been helpful and provided you with some new ideas for writing. And as always, I look forward to seeing you on the next show.